I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. My name's Pete Allison. Here's Dave Cribb.
Hi, hi. Hi. How are you?
Yep. I would like to start with a little thank you, unlike the bitching we did last week.
Good. Oh, it's nice to mix it up, isn't it?
Because I asked, we both did, for requests for future episodes of Friends with Friends.
Yippity yep.
A lot of them, Dave.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, the next series of Friends with Friends is
it's populated
over halfway full.
No, nearly so it's populated. Not fully.
It's well populated.
That is lovely. Thank you for that. That is actually genuinely heartening to hear, isn't it?
But if you go on, there's still time to request remaining episodes of Friends with Friends, and we're down to quite a narrow pool, which doesn't mean that we're near the end. It just means that a number of people have already, you know, shotgunned. Yes.
We've got a lot lined up in the meantime, haven't we?
Yeah. So if you go on FWF Pod on Instagram, you can see a little list of the remaining episodes and then tap the link in our bio, in our profile, to email us what your request is. I explained that terribly, didn't I?
That was long-winded and... frankly, unbecoming.
Go on our Instagram and fucking tell us what you want.
Unbecoming of a professional broadcaster, that Peter, I think.
Yeah, sorry. This is me in
my... your head in shame.
This is me in my unprofessional mode.
Fine. No, I'm glad we're getting your A-game on the podcast, eh?
Yeah.
would you like a request from Hannah?
Yes, I'd like specifically a request from Hannah.
Good. This one's from Hannah, Pete.
Good.
Ahoy, hoy, Pete and Dave. I could not resist requesting the one where Phoebe hates PBS. This is one of Phoebe's best episodes and one of Ross's worst, with the insufferable way he snaps at his friends and is convinced Carol would move to England for him. Even for Ross, this is ridiculous. The mix of a lighthearted Joey and Phoebe plot and the much more serious Ross and Emily plot works really well. Hannah's actually written PLO. I presume it's a typo for plot, but I quite like PLO as a cool abbreviation of plot. So from now on, it'll be a Jack PLO.
Yeah, nice.
And I can't wait to hear your opinion on the one condition, as I think it utterly comes down to whose perspective you view it from. Yeah, interesting, isn't it? I have thoughts, so we will get to
I also have thoughts.
Good, oh, good. Hang on. Is this an episode of Friends with Friends where we've both brought thoughts?
Both brought a thought to the table. God.
We could be here a while. Both brought a thought or two.
We'll be doing one of those 70-minute episodes that people are desperate for.
Yeah, exactly.
Please, double it. God, no.
No. The closing scene with Rachel and Ross gets me every time. Really gives an insight into their relationship before tearing it all away. Keep making our Wednesdays better. Hannah. That's a nice little slogan.
That is nice, isn't it?
That's like our equivalent of MAGA.
Don't compare it to that.
Well, no, I'm not saying it's similar. I'm just saying that's our equivalent, you know?
Oh, yes.
Keep waking our Wednesdays, making Wednesdays great again. That's what MUGA. MUGA. Hey, Pete. Friends with Friends. MUGA.
I wouldn't go with that.
I'm going to get a hat printed that just says FWF MWGA and never tell anyone what it means.
Are you a hat kind of guy?
No. Depends.
I'm absolutely not.
I have been known to wear hats, and I went through a cap phase at one point, definitely.
I went through a cap phase during lockdown. That's cap phase, not cat phase.
Yes,
cap phase during lockdown when my hair got too long.
I think that's it. I think it depends on your hair. I think ultimately I don't care enough about my hair or do anything with my hair enough to be a hat guy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because if my hair just looks a bit raggedy, that's fine.
It's interesting, isn't it, Dave?
It is interesting, Pete. Would you like a synopsis?
Yeah.
Season 5, Episode 4, the one where Phoebe hates PBS, 467654.
Nice.
It's quite satisfying, that one, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
467654.
Fitting for a fine broadcaster like PBS.
PBS. Do you know what this first reminded me of is when we were doing lockdown quizzes, fluff quizzes in lockdown, and I inadvertently gave away the answer to a question.
Did you read out, did you ask what it stood for and then just read out what it stood for?
I think it was something like, I can't remember. The clip is actually on our Instagram, I think, from yonks ago.
I had never heard of PBS before this episode of Friends because living in the UK, didn't know.
It just isn't a thing, is it?
No.
Oh, I think I found it, Pete. Here we go. This is exclusive footage from our lockdown quiz, and I think the question was about PBS. Here we go.
Did Joey think he was hosting a telethon for? Isn't the telethon just to raise money for the TV network? That'll be like ITV doing a campaign for you to just donate so they made more telly.
Yeah, but it's PBS. Oh, shit.
Who are those people?
There you go. So the question was, which TV network was it? And then we, for some reason, were having a deep dive sort of, yeah. And I was sort of saying, yeah, it's PBS, which is like public service broadcasting. So, you know, it's more like raising money for the BBC, I guess. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Fine institution, Dave.
Absolutely. But anyway, I completely gave it away. And the people in the background, I think, was my sister who lived with me in lockdown and Cornelius, who used to live with me. Do you remember?
I remember him.
Remember Cornelius. Off in Australia now. Dead now, of course. Dead to England. Not literally. Anyway, here's the synopsis. Chandler starts behaving rather arrogantly after learning Monica thinks he's the best sex she ever had. Meanwhile, Phoebe does her best to find a selfless good deed. Ross finally contacts Emily to try and work things out. She agrees to come to New York, but only if Ross agrees never to see Rachel again. And Joey lands a job on a PBS telethon, much to Phoebe's disapproval, who believes there's no such thing as a selfless good deed. Shall we start with Monica and Chandler? That feels like the smallest of the plots, doesn't it?
Yes, okay.
And this is where the episode actually starts, isn't it, with this cold open. And what I would say about this cold open, Pete, quite fucking weird, because Rachel would never go into the bedroom based on what she's just experienced. She knocks on the door.
Monica goes, based on how it's said, I think you twig.
Come in. I've been waiting for you. And Rachel goes, okay, I guess she must be. And she's been waiting for me. It's like, you would just be like, it's me. What? what the fuck's going on? And then Monica goes into massive overdrive panic because Rachel goes, please tell me you're waiting for a guy. Which, that's very clear, right? Considering Monica's sexual orientation and the way she was lying on her bed.
Well, and then, since when do you take naps in that position paints a picture of something we don't see,
something we don't see, yeah. And then Monica, like, sounds so triumphant when she goes, yes, I'm dating a guy from work, as if, like, that's the smartest thing she's ever come up with on the spot. And it's just like, that's the only option here. The only option is to say you're dating somebody that you don't know about. It's just really strange interaction, that whole bit, isn't it?
And as far as, Rachel in this scene, but Phoebe later on, as far as Rachel and Phoebe are concerned, Monica is hiding a man from them. A man who is then referred to as her secret boyfriend. So it's seemingly, hypothetically, fictionally, quite down the line.
Right.
Why are they not more incredulous about Monica hiding a boyfriend from her best friends? They're just like, oh, she just doesn't want him to. Well, why? Why doesn't she want you to meet them? Like, ask more questions.
Correct. And this friendship group will always do that. They're annoyed if somebody doesn't tell them that they've gone for dinner that night. You know,
exactly.
Like, they know everything about each other. Also, considering Monica's so determined to keep the secret, like, I know they don't have many options, but they don't have to just do it in the apartments where all their friends live all the time. Mm. Like, if you're doing whatever Monica's doing, that feels a bit like, get a hotel room and go and do that if you're really, really desperate to keep it a secret, because you're going to get caught out at some point.
Yeah, they're not doing a great job of keeping it on the down low, are they?
No, not at all.
They're not trying, very secretive, yeah.
No.
And also, I also don't get, with this storyline, why does Monica have such a big issue, like she's offended by Chandler enjoying the compliment right. she's giving him?
Right. This is exactly my problem with this whole thing. And I think it's fair to say Chandler's being a bit insufferable and a bit of a dork, right? But clearly, all that's really happening here is that he is thrilled about his relationship with Monica, right? And
yeah,
he's
well,
clearly never, ever been told that he's good at sex before. So he's just genuinely, absolutely delighted. And she is over the top mad at him for some reason.
And she's seemingly having a lovely time because she's openly telling people that this sex is so great with this right. mystery person.
Yeah.
So it's not like she's being secretive and doesn't want people knowing about their sex life. She's the one that told them.
Exactly. It's not exactly correct. It's not like she's trying to be private about it. So I don't understand why she's so offended that Chandler is thrilled to hear this. Because let's be honest, Pete, it's a nice thing to be told, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
He's just happy. He is absolutely just happy. And the way he eventually sort of wins her round is by saying, it's all you're doing, babes, you know, basically.
Yeah, and I'm only good because of you. Basically.
And it's very reminiscent of like the, you know, the episode where he's like, you give the best worst massages. You know, he's like constantly trying to sort of talk her down like she's a child. And this is another example of that where he's like, okay, so yes, it's only because you're amazing. Well done. You know, and it does feel a bit like she has a sort of fairly low emotional maturity level for this kind of thing.
Yeah, it just feels like she's clutching at straws for something to be angry about, or yeah. like it's not fully kind of padded out as to why she has an issue with it.
Yes, exactly. Sure, do you want your boyfriend jumping on a table dancing? No, but crucially, they don't know he's your boyfriend.
Yeah.
So you getting annoyed is only going to make things worse here. You could just be like, what's wrong with you, you fucking weirdo, as a mate in front of your other mates?
There's also that, on a different note, the other bit that stood out to me, as a sign of the times thing, is when there's that joke about Chandler like borrowing something from Monica's and breaking it. Or no, it's because the duck threw up in it or something.
Yeah.
And Chandler makes a comment about ordering a replacement and says it'll take 4 to 6 weeks to be delivered. These days, it's like a sofa might take 4 to 6 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And that that's about it.
That's coming on Amazon Prime next day delivery.
Exactly.
It? Absolutely astonishing scenes. I know, catalogue, just a big... There's a few things in this episode that date it, actually. The catalogue is one, and Stella getting a groove back is another.
Yeah, I just assumed that that's a film that was out at the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's called How Stella Got Her Groove Back.
Oh.
But yeah, it was a big film at the time. I've never seen it.
Who played Stella?
Well... Angela Bassett.
Famously did the thing.
Did the thing. She got a groove back. That's what it is.
Oh, I'm delighted for her. But it's like,
I'm just looking at the cast now. Angela Bassett, Taye Diggs, Whoopi Goldberg. It's a big cast, mate. But How Stella Got Her Groove Back is a 1998 American rom-com.
How did Stella get her groove back?
I think she's a single parent and probably had sex or something. I don't know. That's what I'm getting from a
all
quick...
Stella needed was a good shag.
Good shag. All Angela Bassett needed was a thing.
Yeah, to do the thing.
What I would say about Monica, though, is in fairness to her, it is basically her responsibility that Chandler's good at sex, because if we squiggle back a couple of seasons, she basically teaches him how to do good sex. With
That's
seven,
true with the numbers.
Seven.
Yeah.
So in fairness, when Chandler's saying that, there is a modicum of truth to it. She has taught him how to do not only good sex, but clearly good sex that worked on Kathy, but is very clearly, you know, anytime you teach someone something, it's from your perspective. So Monica has inadvertently taught him the absolute best way to have sex with her, because she is doing it from her perspective, right? So when it comes to it, no wonder it's bloody great sex. She's basically giving him an instruction manual on
sex. Well,
you know, doing the thing.
Doing the thing. A different thing to what Angela Bassett did at the time.
A different thing to Angela Bassett. I did not think we would be talking about Angela Bassett, but there you go.
Here we are.
Shall we move on?
Yes.
Unless you've got anything sort of... have you got a thought? I know you've brought some thoughts today. Have you got any thoughts about this plotline?
Well, one of my thoughts was... one of my thoughts was just based on not really understanding why Monica's angry.
Yeah.
I think that's the extent of my thought. No, that actually, I have a Ross and Emily-based thought.
Okay, well, they'll save that, Peter. Crikey, don't spunk all your thoughts at once.
Yeah. Oh, that's a... That's what Chandler's doing.
Telethon or Emily?
Telethon?
Temelmi. Telethon. Yes, okay. What I would say is implausible that you think you're the host of a telethon, but you're just answering the phones. But then also, it is Estelle, isn't it?
Well, it's some quite considerable miscommunication for that to happen.
Yeah, you've got to wonder.
Because co-host to answering the phone is considerable downgrade in that scenario.
Well, it is. And not only is it a downgrade, it's not like the difference in being the lead in a movie and the supporting actor. He's gone from being the lead in the movie to, like, just working in catering or something. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a completely different job. I would have thought him as a self sort of perceived TV star would be like embarrassed to be just amongst the muggles answering the phones, wouldn't he? Like that's a bad look for a star.
I've once taken calls in a telephone, Dave.
No, you have not.
I actually have. For Comic Relief once.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Are they the only telethons we have here, the Comic Relief and Children in Need?
ICV tried that Tech Santa stuff, didn't they?
Oh, yes. I'm so
but otherwise,
but
yes.
They're not like a big part of culture in a way that they are in the older...
They're quite of their time, aren't they?
Very much so, yeah. They. I don't know. I don't know if they're still going. Is telethon still on, everyone?
It was many years ago that I did one.
What did happen?
In fact, I know when it was. It was the night that Richard Hillman drove the Platt family into a Manchester canal in Coronation
Into the canal.
Street.
I remember it. Crikey, O'Reilly.
Yeah, it was the same night because they had it on a telly in the call centre.
What? And you were watching it live?
Well, while answering calls, yes.
Right.
Well, that's how I remember it. I don't know why I would make that memory up.
I don't think you would you?
Well, I don't think so. But yeah, it was for Comic Relief.
Did you take a substantial contribution of cash?
Well, I think so, but it's quite intense because at the time, everything was like handwritten because there were just shitloads of people on phones, like taking calls.
Oh, what? You sort of jotted it down
and
on
you had
notepad.
To note everything down. So you had to note down people's bank details.
Card details, yeah. That
and so if you made the slightest mistake and didn't get them right,
they've just lost the money.
The money ain't getting to them.
The child dies.
Hopefully not that. Hopefully it doesn't hinge that directly on whether I wrote down someone's bank details right.
Pete, I guess you'll never know how many children you inadvertently killed that night.
That's true. But I think in that situation, yeah, other than inadvertently causing the death of children,
yeah,
doing a telethon in those circumstances was doing a good deed because I didn't get paid, right?
Yeah, right.
Joey, in this situation, like if he's getting paid, then that's not him doing a good deed. That's just him doing his job.
Yeah, absolutely. As Phoebe points out, he admits, doesn't he? I want to do this. That's good exposure for me on the old television.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the selfless good deed thing is probably quite a fair argument from Joey. This episode, I'll tell you what, overall, is an interesting display in Joey's intellectual capacity.
Well, it's quite deep, isn't it? The idea of selfless good deeds and Phoebe trying to identify what one actually is.
And Joey sort of making a lot of sensible and intelligent points, which is, I mean, sure, he ends the episode having a fight with another call answerer in the background of a telethon. So, you know, he comes crashing back down to earth. But he does bring up a lot of decent points, doesn't he?
It's true.
I also enjoy these sort of intellectual debates, in inverted commas, between Joey and Phoebe. They have them every now and then, and they are some of the funniest stuff because, yeah, obviously he's making some good points, but a lot of the stuff is also nonsense. But they are discussing these issues like they are sort of members of some sort of high-level debating society, aren't they?
I also love how inherently Phoebe-ish it is that she was saving up to buy a hamster, and it wasn't just any hamster, not the one I had my eye on in terms of how cheap it was. Some classic little Phoebe bits there.
I'll tell you what's a bit bleak. Phoebe, so right, initially my reaction was Phoebe's hatred of PBS is a bit of a stretch.
It's something, so I can't remember, but it's something to do with the childhood, right?
Her mum died, she wrote to Sesame Street, and then never responded with, like, words of condolence. And I was like, of course they didn't. It's Sesame Street, right? You can't, it's a stretch to hate the network. But then she drops in the bomb that she got a key ring from them. So actually, what must have happened is that somebody there has read the letter where she said her mum's killed herself.
And thought, and do you know what she needs? Key ring.
Yeah, they haven't replied with any words of condolence. They've just gone, that's key ring level.
Can I also be...
key ring in an envelope.
Can I also be super picky about this?
Yeah.
She says, why did they send me a key ring? I didn't have keys. But you do have an address. Yeah. So have they posted this key ring to the box that she lived in? Like, her argument that, why are you giving me this? I don't have keys. Well, why are you writing to people if they can't write back to you because you've not got a house?
That's a very good point.
See, told you I was bringing big thoughts.
Where have they sent the key ring to, Phoebe? That's exactly what we want to know.
She's got
justice
a post
for
box.
Sesame Street. Anyway, so Joey's had this miscommunication. He's ended up just answering pledges. I tell you what, it's impressive that every time Phoebe rings the telethon, she gets through to Joey.
Yeah.
Because presumably there's many, many other phone answerers there ready to take calls, you know?
I also don't know why it's so novel to Joey's friends that Joey's on TV.
Yes, he's literally a television star.
They're like, oh my God, Joey's on TV. Well, yes, you should be used to this.
Yeah, and in a much less impressive capacity than previously when he was deliberately on TV cast as an actor. Mm. In this one, he's just effectively a member of the public volunteering, isn't he?
In a very sharp suit.
In a very sharp, full tuxedo, Peter. A tuxedo is a faff, it's an undertaking, Pete. I'll tell you that for free.
It is, especially if you tie the bow tie yourself.
Which I did when I wore a,
did
a,
you?
A tuxedo 2 weeks
oh,
ago.
Oh, no,
yeah.
I'm a clip-on kind of guy.
Oh, yeah, no, I've always been half able to do it, and I thought, I'm just going to learn. I'm nigh on 40 years old, not for a couple of years, but, you know, I'm hurtling that way. I should be able to know how to tie a bloody bow tie.
Yeah, fair. Well, so admirable.
I taught myself, I practiced, and got myself to the point where I turned up at the pre-brunch without it tied, you know, like, and then everyone was getting ready, and I got to the point where I could just whip it on in the middle of the room and just sort of tie it up nonchalantly.
Were people impressed?
Everyone else was like YouTube videos up, following it step by step, getting help from their friends. You know, there he was, old James Bond in the corner there.
Yeah. Just
whippity-bup-dup, up, oh, it's all done. Happy days.
James Bond doesn't say whippity-bup-bup. he doesn't use that kind of language.
I don't think you've seen the deleted scenes, Peter. James Bond does a bow tie. It's not a classic film, is it? Anyway, Phoebe donates $200, a lot to donate to a cause you hate, and she thinks she's nailed the good deed thing, and that's a good payoff where she realizes, oh, I got Joey on TV, oh, I feel so great. It is unfortunate for her because she has basically nailed the selfless good deed thing there, hasn't she?
She has.
It's just
yeah.
a real shame for her that, like, anyone else could have taken that donation. If any other caller had taken it, that would have been fine. Tick, tick, tick. She's really been unlucky there, I'd say.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
And so we get to Ross's pursuit of Emily, tracking her down like a intelligence service tracks down enemies of the state.
Yeah.
Across countries, across oceans, calling everyone he can. First, don't be on the phone in the fucking film.
I did think that, like, at first, oh no, unpleasant Ross episode.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of as toxic as the Ross and Emily storyline gets, right?
I think so. I mean, toxic as it gets from both sides, actually.
Yes, this is, very much
this is
so.
Bad on Ross, and we'll come to the Emily conditions in a bit. But I think the main takeaway from this plot line is this relationship is already irreparably damaged.
Yeah.
And their desperate attempts to make it work are only going to come to nothing, but they are still attempting it, you know?
Yeah, you said we'll talk about it later, but we're basically on it now, aren't we? The whole scenario that they end up in, like, it's understandable that Emily would have such a strong stance on Ross spending time with Rachel after what happened. And it's also understandable that Ross is so torn over it. So I think it's just a sign that they're broken, and ultimately that's irreparable.
Yeah, I think, it is very tricky, isn't it? Because I think from what we were, like, this was sort of teed up, wasn't it, in Hannah's request about sort of saying, which perspective do you see this from? And I think, yes, huge red flags from anybody that says you cannot see one of your close friends of the opposite sex cause jealousy. That is, on the face of it, a big old red flag. But having seen what happened, the level of humiliation and disrespect Ross has shown to Emily so far, I think that mitigates a lot of it, doesn't it? And you, like you say, you can understand why she's made that call. I still don't think that's the basis for a healthy relationship. And if they are going to stay together forever, you can't be making those ultimatums, because that's just only going to lead to absolute nutsness going down the line. But I think you're right. It just ultimately indicates this ain't working, lads. All the best. If you're trying to make those demands, it's over.
Yeah. And the other odd thing about Emily at the start of the episode is that when she first speaks to Ross down the phone and she's like, please leave everyone alone, she's quite sort of angry, quite blunt, quite to the point. And she softens into missing him really quickly. And then to go one further, softens into the idea of it being kind of repairable really quickly too.
I'm moving across the ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a real quick turnaround from, like, leave me and my family alone. Oh, what? Move across to be with you again? Yeah, right, cool. Like, within about 10 minutes, isn't it?
And the there is a couple of nice little moments at the start, like when Ross is so sort of shocked that she's actually called, the little bit where he just picks up the lamp and gives it to Chandler for no reason. And Chandler's, I think that's like, one of the funniest, I don't know what I'm doing with this.
Funniest bit of visual comedy in all of Friends. That I love that. That just makes me smile every time I watch it.
Also entirely, like, it's not in the script, so unless it's like a direction script. So that's a really funny physical thing for somebody to have thought of and directed.
Yeah, well, the story goes it's completely improv by Schwimmer.
Nice.
So he's just done that, and Matthew Perry is reacting live. Do you know what I mean? His look of confusion is almost as much why is my actor friend David Schwimmer handing me this lamp rather than being Chandler of why is Ross handing me this lamp. And I think you see that. I think it's one of those things that they've obviously caught it and it feels like that's the first take and they've just gone, this is great. I enjoyed the nonsense. But yeah, I love those little bits. You're right. How do you, at what point would you ever write that into a script? You know, very, very funny. So yeah, Emily calls, he wants him to move to London. Another one of my favourite lines in this episode as well. And again, these are just little throwaways. Ross comes and tells them in the coffee house, oh, you know, I'm going to move to London. And Monica goes, but you live here. Yeah. Again, I just, you know that. I think that is so fucking funny. That just really makes me giggle. What I did discover, Peter, though, was the deleted scene.
Oh.
Where Ross tries to persuade Carol and Susan to move to London with Ben.
I mean, the line about Ross genuinely thinking he could convince Carol and Susan to do this is, it's wild that that's even entered his head, isn't it?
Would you like to, obviously we're a visual medium, but would you like to hear the audio? You don't really need the visuals.
Yeah, go on.
Here's the scene where Ross tries to convince Carol initially, and then Susan comes in with Ben. Halfway through, there's a couple of things I'd like to flag from this scene once you've listened to it.
We are not moving to London. We already have lives here.
Yeah, but it would be great. They have great theater, great accents, tea. They have a queen.
So?
She's a woman.
Hey!
Guess what? We're moving to London!
Who's going to London? Nobody's going to London.
Welcome to London, Governor! Right? Hey, it'll be great because we'll have Big Ben and Little Ben in the same city! Hey, go pack! See? He wants to go?
Yeah, we leave all our big decisions to the three-year-old.
Come on. It'll be just like Three's Company, only there's a kid and my wife. And you're the gay one.
There you go. There's the scene.
I can see why I didn't make the cut, I'll be honest.
My two takeaways to start with are, is Ross suggesting they will happily move to London because there's a queen? And they're lesbians, so they'll fancy the queen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the queen was a sort of lesbian pinup, was she?
No, I don't think so. And it's very sort of straight white male energy to just to be like, well, she's a woman.
Yeah,
you like women. I mean, what more could we, you know, ask for? Also, pretty bad parenting that he just says to Ben, "We're moving to London. Go and pack your things."
Yeah, what a mic drop to say to your child.
I mean, I know we discuss regularly how shit Ben is, but he's not had a great start, has he?
Maybe he should go to London and no one else.
Well, I think he should go to London and get some fucking therapy for the way he's been brought up, because frankly, he's going to need it.
You don't see Magic 8 Balls much these days, do you?
So I really enjoy the unhinged capacity.
I like
Ross.
The taking apart of the Magic 8 Ball, specifically the fact that he seems to have poured the liquid from inside the Magic 8 Ball into some sort of bowl.
He gets like unhinged level obsessed with the Magic 8 Ball as if this is the solution to everything. He's using the Magic 8 Ball. The chaotic behavior then grows when he tries to take it apart. It's like, this might not be your priority here, Rostopher. You know, maybe have a little think elsewhere. Meanwhile, Monica uses the Magic 8 Ball to have another go at Chandler.
Yes, she does, yeah.
And it turns out Magic 8 Ball isn't working anyway because they do have sex later that night.
That's
after
true.
They make up.
Yes.
So don't be a dick, Monica. That's what I'm taking away from this. I tell you, here's an interesting one, and I wonder if this has been noticed by other people. How do you say the word that's the big table at the front of the church?
Altar?
Altar, yeah.
Why, how's it said?
Emily says altar.
Oh.
Altar. Have you ever heard anyone say altar?
No. I didn't even clock her do that.
No, well, I did because it was so fucking, like, jarring. And I feel like maybe Americans watching it go, that's weird. I wonder how British people say altar. But that's not us. We say altar. I've never heard anyone else say altar apart from Helen Baxendale in this episode of Friends. So I just wanted to flag for the record that is not representative of how Britons say that word.
And then there's this scene after he's taken apart the magic eight ball with Rachel obliviously helping Ross towards a decision that massively negatively impacts her.
No, it is. As Hannah said in her request, it's such a nice display of friendship in their relationship that she inadvertently is persuading Ross to never see her again. Mm. But in her heart, she's going, you need to try and make this thing work, even though that pains me. So whatever she's asking, you go for that. And I'd say at that stage, that still really shouldn't be enough for Ross to then commit to it like he does when Emily rings. He should probably tell Rachel before he agrees what that condition is.
Well, yeah, you know? Because the line that he says down the phone is, you know that thing you said you want me to do, I think I can do it. Like, it's he's so obviously talking around something.
Right, exactly. You'd think at some point it'd be like, can I just be clear what the thing is?
Yeah, you are very much involved in it.
And very much involved in the thing. And then, yes, obviously this is the beginning of the end for Ross and Emily. But as we've already discussed, basically the end already, but they're just going to drag it out for a little bit longer.
Yeah, fuck. Shut it down.
Shut it down. Shut it all down. Hey, Pete.
Yes?
Do we have a quiz?
We do have a quiz.
Oh, my God.
And it's six questions. Six questions.
Hit me, baby.
Who does the waiter guy look like a non-threatening version of?
Ray Liotta.
Is correct.
Ray Liotta, who I only think of ever.
Godfather? Oh, no, he's in Goodfellas.
Yeah, Goodfellas.
Yes, he died fairly relatively recently. He died 2 years ago.
There's a thing on, you know, listen to James O'Brien's radio show.
No.
He references Ray Liotta quite often, and that's the only time I ever think of Ray Liotta.
Oh, well.
There you go.
Question
Continue.
Two.
Yep.
What does Phoebe's neighbor force feed her? Oh, and it's after she says she's cleaned up his leaves or something.
Oh, yeah.
Cider and cookies.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It is cider and cookies. Question three. What page of the Williams Sonoma Fall catalogue is the...
Not going to get the page. 27?
That is correct.
No, is it?
Yes, it is.
That's
wild.
Quite pleased. That must just be buried in my psyche somewhere.
The classic Friends with Friends quiz question.
Yeah.
Magna Doodle.
Oh, Evil Joey.
Evil Joe. Yes.
Evil Joe, that's right. Oh, I noticed it as well and thought that's weird that it's Joe, not Joey.
Evil Joe. You've already said this. How much did Phoebe donate to PBS?
$200.
It's correct, but please don't say dollaroonies again. And finally, what studio number is the PBS telethon happening in?
No, I'm sorry.
55.
55, yeah. I should have known that. I don't know.
You said we're on a good run. We don't... Oh, no, that's a spoiler. I won't say that.
Oh. I can't imagine what that is.
Would you like to know what next week's episode is?
Yes.
It is as follows. Season 6, episode 3, the one with Ross's denial. Now, when I first read that, I thought, I don't really know what that's referring to. It's referring to his denial over whether he's in love with Rachel or not.
There it is, yes. Okay. I guess one of those episode titles we have to really think for a moment to place it, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's what it is.
Well,
we'll
Peter,
do it next week.
On that note, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye, 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 bye.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.